Springbok 9:30 dossier. Every day at this time, we bring you dramatized stories of excitement, romance, and suspense from the files of interesting and fascinating people.
We present The Veil of Darkness, a story of violence and intrigue by Ron Evans.
After an hour's struggle, we managed to haul one side of our makeshift rope bridge across the width of the ravine and secured both ends to the old wooden stanchions, which was all that remained of the former bridge. A bridge which Violetta informed me was even more primitive than the one we had constructed. Then came the time to test it. With a nervous smile to Violetta, I set one foot on the V-shaped contraption and stepped out over the void. Several more steps and it began to swing. The lower of the three ropes was stretched as tightly as was humanly possible. The two ropes forming the handholds were a little looser. With one foot stepping directly in front of the next, I edged gently farther out. The swinging and sag increased. Even when I stopped and remained completely still, the rope beneath my feet wobbled. And then I realized there was someone following up behind me. I turned my head.
Hurry up, Paul.
Violetta, go back.
No, I won't go back. The bridge must take the strain on many people if we are all to get across.
Come on, Lieutenant, before you take root there.
Shut up, Edwards. Your own turn's coming up soon. All right, Violetta, but don't come up too close to me.
I like being close to you, Paul.
Yeah, well, the feeling's mutual, but not right now. Well,
hurry, then. I remember when my father crossed the old bridge, he walked without a falter, carrying me on his shoulders, too.
All right, so your father was like a mountain goat. I'm a city boy who has to think twice before going on the Big Dipper at Blackpool.
Tell me about the Big Dipper.
Not now, for heaven's sake.
But in spite of what I said, the fact of talking to Violetta made the crossing easier. With her chattering behind me, I finally reached the other side and put my feet firmly back on solid ground. A moment later, Violetta stood beside me, grinning from ear to ear.
You see, it was easy.
Oh, yeah, for you, perhaps. But your turn will come when you have to cross the Strand through the lunchtime traffic.
What is the Strand?
Well, never mind. You'll understand what I mean one day soon. All right, Corporal! Send all but three of the men across, one by one!
Major Ramsden and Colonel Horden strode ahead of the column and scrambled up the slope which led to the opening of the tunnel. From the slopes of the hill above them, Dimitri and Captain Saunders waved down to them.
By Jove, Ramsden, our chaps have found good cover up there. Can't see them at all.
Ah, the Russians and the Poles know what they're doing, sir.
I say, Saunders, any sign of the enemy from up there?
Well, I can see about 4 miles and there's nothing.
Right, send a man to tell me when they're sighted. Can't be long now, in spite of the walloping the raft gave them.
Sir.
Ah, so this is the tunnel, eh?
It goes about 300 yards under the side of the mountain.
Can't be natural.
No, I doubt it. Most likely it was cut by the ancients who lived up here above the pass.
It would have taken them years.
Well, perhaps it was worth it if it meant a way through to the west.
Well, once our people are through, we can dynamite it. That will give our SS Major Scher a problem to ponder.
I think it would be better to see everyone over the ravine first, sir. Something could go wrong with this bridge effort, and then we'd be trapped.
Oh, if Sale has experienced trouble, I'm sure he would have sent someone back to warn me. Anyway, Ramsden, the chaps up the hill can blow it up behind them when they withdraw. By then, most of us will have been over the ravine. Well, shall we go and take a look at this bridge for ourselves?
Actually, I'm rather worried about Sergeant Ryan's group. My message calling on him to withdraw from the pass won't have reached him until 5, and it'll take him at least 12 hours to reach this passage.
Ah, yes, Ryan. He has 40 men with him, doesn't he?
Yes. And if we blow up this tunnel when Dimitri's lot withdraw, then Ryan's crowd will be trapped on the wrong side of the mountain.
A pity. But in war, we can't avoid breaking eggs. So far, we've been remarkably lucky.
Do I take that to mean you're ready to abandon Ryan?
Not if he reaches here in time.
But you will abandon him if he doesn't?
No alternative, Ramsden.
Our men can hold the tunnel entrance until it gets dark.
I don't think I dare take the risk of the Germans getting the tunnel intact.
With all due respect, sir, may I remind you that Sergeant Ryan and his men stayed at their posts against overwhelming odds in the past so that we could escape. The least you can do is give him a chance.
If he hurries, he can reach here before dark. I'm willing to wait that long.
Oh, well, so you're willing to wait until dark for him?
Really, Ramsden, isn't that what I just said? Ah, that light ahead must be the end of the tunnel.
Saunders and Dimitri watched the first of the column clambering the slope and entering the tunnel. In the lead were a few ragged soldiers of almost every nationality, and these were followed up by the women and children. Lady Agnes strode forcefully among them like a shepherdess with an unruly flock. Behind them straggled the main body of the force, Americans, Dutch, Norwegian, French, Belgians, and Danes. Meanwhile, Violetta and I made another heart-stopping crossing of the bridge back to the eastern side to wait for the arrival of the column. I had sent 2 patrols of 11 men in each to scout down the western slopes and find a suitable campsite. Then we saw Colonel Horden and Major Ramsden edging along the ledge towards us. They made it with much muttering from the colonel, and a moment later they joined us. Horden looked at the bridge with open dismay.
I say, is that the best you could do, Lieutenant?
I'm afraid it is, and it took all the rope we had as well.
Oh, looks damn shaky to me.
Well, it is, I must confess, but I will say that I've crossed it twice myself, so it isn't too bad. The rest of my detail are on the other side. I've sent them out on patrol.
Good thinking, Sal.
You say it's safe, do you?
Well, yes, I think it is, sir. If there are no more than 3 people on it at any one time. The men will have to carry the children across, of course.
Yes, of course, of course.
Well, Colonel, if you wish to cross, I'll take charge on this side.
Yeah, other way round, Major. You cross, and I'll wait here. When we get the radio across, call up our people and tell them to organize the boats, will you?
Well, don't you think it's a bit early yet, sir? We can't give them a time. We don't know when we're going to reach the coast. And who knows what's going to be waiting for us when we get down on the plain.
Just tell them to have the boats ready, and I'll call in an ETA this time tomorrow. By that time, we'll know what we're in for. By Jove, there's a pretty girl you have with you, Sale. Violetta, that's her name, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, sir.
And can't understand a bloody word we're saying.
Yes.
Can be darned useful at times, I should say.
Well, I'm teaching her English, sir.
Lessons are over now, eh? She'll be going back to her people, I suppose.
No, not really, sir. She'll be going with me, sir.
I say. Easy on there, Sale. She's done her job. Now she must go back.
I don't think you understand, sir. We want to be married.
Married, Sale?
Yes, sir.
What an absurd idea. Why, the girl's a mountain peasant, can't speak a word of English, and probably has the manners of a medieval ploughman. Really, Sale, you're being unfair to the girl by just suggesting it.
We are nevertheless going to be married, sir.
You've told her this?
Yes, sir.
Oh, how extraordinary. What do you think of it, Ramsden?
Well, the young woman's been of great help to us, sir, and after all, I did tell you that she and Sale, well, that they were... Well...
Oh, yes, I know all about that. But I thought he'd been getting her things so that she'd... Well, you know what.
We're very much in love, sir.
Oh, I say, Lieutenant... Do you think she could go back along the ledge to the tunnel? She'd be damn useful in herding the women and children safely along to here.
Well, I'm sure she'd be glad to when I ask her, sir, but I would like to know...
Oh, of course, of course. She can come along with us as far as the boats sail. It's the least I can do for the services she's rendered.
To Italy, sir?
To Italy? Ah. Now, that's a different kettle of fish. Very well, then. And you have my permission to marry her if that is your next request. But heaven knows, young man, be warned. She'll never adapt to our civilized society. More like she'll be shooting up pedestrians on the high street. Now offer her my best wishes and get her back along the ledge, will you?
It took an hour after the air raid before the SS troops continued their advance. Having been caught in the open, their casualties had been high. To avoid a second occurrence, Major Scheer ordered his men to advance along a rocky ridge to one side of the old pasture land. This had the effect of slowing them down to half their previous speed. A few miles to the southwest, Sergeant Ryan and his men were moving uphill at the double, led by the messenger who delivered the order for him to withdraw. Luckily, having had an easy time holding the only route out of Rajek Pass, they had started out rested and refreshed. But time was fast running out for them, and the messenger had already warned Ryan that they were not likely to reach the column before dark. High on the hill above the tunnel, Sanders and Dimitri peered through binoculars to the east, watching for the first Germans to appear. A few minutes after 4 p.m, as the last of the column was entering the tunnel, Dimitri's sharp eyes saw the first movement.
Over there, to the north, where the rocks are.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got him.
A patrol, but I don't think the main force is far behind.
Well, Dimitri, you're the expert in this kind of warfare. What do you reckon?
First, we must not let them see us.
Yeah.
From what I was told, this sergeant, what was his name, Fritsch, who was guiding them, was not shown the entrance to the tunnel. The Germans will have to find it. Now that can give us time.
We don't need time. In a few minutes, the column will be safe, and well, all we have to do is blow the tunnel.
No. No, I will not destroy the tunnel.
Dimitri, we got orders to...
When Sergeant Ryan arrives, then I do it. Not 1 minute before.
Yeah, I understand how you feel, but we can't risk letting the Krauts in here.
I will see that Sergeant Ryan reaches it first.
You like that mad Irishman, don't you?
Nah, he's a working class hero.
You know, that sounds like a load of your communist jargon.
Before the war, you know what he did? He was emptying bins to live.
What? You mean a garbage collector?
Nah, he went from house to house. Emptying the rubbish bin. A man must be a hero to do such work, huh? What did you do, Captain?
Oh, I was a third-year law student.
So? Oh, here we are. A student, a refuse collector, and a ballet dancer.
A what? A ballet what?
A ballet dancer.
You? A ballet dancer?
Oh, go on. Laugh. Yes, laugh if you need to. Sergeant Ryan thought it was funny, too.
Well, I reckon he would.
Wait, I'm going to talk to Brzezinski. I have an idea.
Yeah, what?
He and his men can take up positions on that hill there instead of here.
What's the point?
Because they will be able to cover Sergeant Ryan as he comes up from the south. And when we open up on the Germans from here, they find themselves in a crossfire.
There are 2,000 Germans, Dimitri.
Yeah, I know that. And what will they do, huh? Now you think, Tovarich, think.
Well, obviously they can't stand out in the open. Okay, and they won't be able to take cover behind that hill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I see your point, Dimitri.
They'll have to pull back to those rocks over there until they can winkle us out of our present position.
Right, you have it. The Germans will be pinned down over there. And Sergeant Ryan will come over this way and reach the tunnel without ever seeing a German. I go to tell Lieutenant Brzezinski and send a message to the colonel that the Germans have been sighted.
Well, you better hurry. I can see swarms of them coming over the rocks about 2 miles away.
Meanwhile, on the eastern side of the ravine, Colonel Horden was counting people off into threes and ordering them across the rope bridge. First, he sent a dozen men across to demonstrate to the others how it should be done. Then he sent each woman with a man in front and behind her, one of them carrying a child on his back where necessary. It was a hair-raising operation, to say the least, especially with one woman who gave way to her fear of heights and looked down. She crumpled weakly. One foot slipped from the rope. As she broke into hysterics, the soldier behind caught her, untangled her foot, and gently coaxed her to the other side. Lady Agnes spoke to each of her charges in turn before they crossed the bridge, gently but firmly reminding them of the alternative. Beside her stood Violetta, wondering what was being said, and somewhat surprised that the crossing was proceeding so smoothly. Sometimes Lady Agnes addressed Violetta in her own language.
You see, my dear, more than half of them have already crossed.
What do you tell them?
What will happen if they don't cross?
Oh.
I think a yawning abyss is preferable to falling into the hands of the SS. Don't you think?
Yes, but they show courage in the way they walk the rope.
Desperate people are always courageous, my dear. I wonder how Puffing Billy will manage his crossing.
Who is Puffing Billy?
Colonel Horden, of course.
Oh.
He's always ready with advice to others, but watch when it's his turn. Oh, it will be so nice tomorrow. Downhill all the way to the sea.
There will still be danger at Viasco, where there is a small German garrison.
What do you call small, madame?
About 30 men.
After having had a battalion of SS chasing us, I shan't worry too much about 30 men. It wouldn't surprise me if they ran away.
No, they will hide in the rocks and snipe at us.
You coming with us, madame? Oh, of course. Now, I heard a little whisper that you are coming with us to Italy.
Paul has promised me.
If there's any argument from Puffing Billy, tell me and I'll deal with him.
Paul has spoken to him, told him we want to get married.
I see. Lieutenant Sale is a wonderful young man. I'm sure he'll look after you. Oh, excuse me, I must speak to Mrs. Haverley before she crosses. She can be a terrible fusspot at times.
As the last of our people came out of the tunnel, a demolition squad began setting explosives at the far end. I listened a while for the sound of shooting, but there was nothing except a depressing silence. I knew that by now the SS should be close to the entrance of the tunnel. I fought back the temptation to go out and see what was happening, and waited, wondering.
I saw Brzezinski's men going onto the opposite hill.
The Germans were still too far away to see them.
I wish Ryan had hurry up. Another 30 minutes, it'll be getting dark.
Well, he has a long way to travel. Brzezinski sent two of his men south to find him.
Good.
Come, let me use your glasses.
Oh, yeah, here.
The main body of the Germans has stopped. I can see three... No, four patrols searching the hills over there to the north. It could take some time before they look this way.
The longer, the better. It's going to be a whole lot more difficult to know what they're up to after dark.
Well, it will not be for you to worry.
What do you mean?
Yeah, the colonel has ordered the tunnel to be blown up when it is dark. And everyone is on the other side of the ravine.
Yeah, but what about Sergeant Ryan and his men?
Well, they will have to join us.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not with you, Dmitri. Hey, you're not thinking of staying here.
My men and I have agreed to do so. They do not want to go to Italy.
The SS will get you.
They will not get us alive, Tuarich. If any of us survive, we will find our way to Komasek Join up with Kovac's partisan.
Does Colonel Horton know this?
No, not yet.
You're crazy.
It has been decided. And if Sergeant Ryan arrives too late, he can join us here.
What about Lieutenant Brzezinski?
Ah, he will go with you to Italy. Here. Do you see this? Hmm? I found it.
Bottle of peach brandy.
It will warm us up a little. Here, drink, my friend. Oh,
thanks. Well, Nastarovia, or whatever it is you guys say.
Good.
Fire water.
Oh. Now, listen. When the shooting starts, please go through the tunnel.
Yeah.
Tell the men who are ready to blow it up to wait until Brzezinski's men are through.
Yeah.
When it is time, one of us will drop a grenade right down in the entrance. That will be a signal for them to act.
Yeah, but will they wait that long?
I think so. Lieutenant Sale, he's in charge. You ask him to wait.
He will obey Colonel Horton's order.
Perhaps not. Talk to him. Tell him Sergeant Ryan deserves a chance, hmm? Look, one of the German patrols is moving closer.
Give me the glasses, Dmitri.
Here.
Thanks. Still no sign of anyone coming up from the south.
I'm going to give orders to fire on the patrol. They will fall back until the main force joins them. After that, they will make a frontal attack on this hill. And then Brzezinski will open up on them. All this will take 30 minutes to an hour. The noise will carry, and if Sergeant Ryan can hear, he will know it is not yet too late. Markovic! Bob! They surprised them. They're running, look.
Your men are standing up, showing themselves.
Yeah, that is part of the plan. The patrol will report there are no more than 10 men here on the hill. It will encourage them to come closer into the trap, huh? Well, now, I think it is time for you to go, Captain Summer.
Dmitri,
No, it is important for you to speak to Lieutenant Sale.
I mean about you staying here.
Go, Tovar. Leave us to enjoy this last battle.
Dmitri says you're in command here.
Yes. The charges are set, and I'm going to blow it in about 5 minutes. Are Dmitri and Brzezinski on their way?
Not yet. You see...
Well, they better hurry up.
Dmitri wants you to hang on, Paul.
Huh?
Don't forget that Sergeant Ryan and his men are still out there.
Yes, I know, but Colonel Horton...
Oh, to hell with Colonel Horton!
Now, look, we can't risk the Germans overrunning Dmitri and getting into the tunnel. All the charges are up that end, and...
Dmitri says he'll drop a grenade in the entrance when they get close.
That's risky.
Look, Dmitri and Brzezinski have organized a nice surprise for him. Should hold him back for an hour or two.
An hour or two?
Yeah.
Hell, Captain, we'll have Horton up here to push the plunger himself.
Please, Paul. Look, the Germans aren't even sure where the tunnel is yet. Dmitri's guys have just driven off a patrol that got too close.
Yes, I know. I heard the shooting.
Yeah, well, you've got to give Sergeant Ryan a chance to get here.
All right. All right. I'll wait as long as I can.
Yeah. And I'll stick here to see you do.
Good. I can use the company.
Hey, where's your girl?
Violetta? Oh, she's by the bridge. And by now, I should think almost everybody is across. It must have been some 30 minutes later when we heard all hell break loose at the other end of the tunnel. The Germans had launched their expected attack on the hillside. They advanced across low ground and reached the slope leading up to the tunnel entrance, the place where Dmitri had his three mortars aimed. The first explosion was the signal for Brzezinski's men to open up from the opposite hill. The SS troops were trapped in a murderous crossfire, and after 10 minutes of punishment... retired. In the fading light, Brzezinski's men melted from the hillside and hurried down the tunnel. They passed us, wide grins on their faces. Last came the Polish officer himself. To my relief, he said that Ryan's group had been sighted and would be here in a few minutes. We waited a while and then heard the echoes of their footsteps coming down the tunnel. They passed us, 41 men, but no Sergeant Ryan. I stopped the last man through.
He shrugged his shoulders and said that Sergeant Ryan would be staying with the Russians. I stared dumbfounded at Saunders.
He's as crazy as that Russian.
Yeah, you wait here. I'm going to order him to come in.
Look, if Horton comes along, you'll be in trouble.
Like you said earlier, to hell with Colonel Horton.
The Veil of Darkness was written by Ron Evans, produced by Yolan Dottman, and directed by Henry Diffenthal.
Springbok 930 Dossier, dramatized for broadcasting, and brought to you on Springbok Radio.